Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Thanks for joining me for episode 115 of Hippie Witch, Magic for a New Age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Switch, Putting the K in Magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. And you may have noticed that I've been doing something different this year, and that is theme. It's hard to say certain words over the radio waves. Theme. I've been doing themes for every month. I just thought it'd be a good way. You know, I run out of time often at the end of an episode here, and then I also do a lot of blog posts. I write an original newsletter every weekend. I do a video every week. I thought it'd be a cool way to tie it all in together and to keep the conversation going if I chose a theme for every month. So last month it was health. The month before that I think it was maybe self-love. And then this month I've been talking about money, so this is the last show in this series on money. For those of you who want to keep this going behind the scenes, I won't be talking about this in June publicly, like this is it. But if you want to keep this going, I am going to be co-leading with Ryan James Locke a four-week program about how to create money from the place of heart center. Big heart, big biz. It is specifically aimed at spiritual entrepreneurs, biz witches, people with online businesses. So if you want to keep that going, if you want to learn more intensely, more specifically how to make that happen, I've been talking about the psycho-spiritual components of that here on the radio show. If you want to get into the nuts and bolts how-to of it, like how to really make this happen in a real world, put the money in my hands kind of way, that's what we're going to be doing on that, in that program. Big heart, big dot biz, if you want to go look it up, that's the URL. And then in June, I'm going to be talking about space clearing, of all things, but it kind of flows naturally for me personally, because I've had to learn that space clearing, it's such a deep spiritual practice. I'm going to be talking about detoxing, spiritual detox, and space clearing all through June. But for me, I've learned that that's really tied up in the money piece. I have a tendency to hoard. I'm a hoarder of things, books and crystals and tarot cards and then just weird little scraps of paper from over the years, all kinds of stuff. And it's interesting how new things can't flow back into your life, money, abundance, if you have, like, clogged up that flow of energy with stuff. So to me, this is like a natural progression of topics to go from money in May and then space clearing in June to make room for the money to come in. So today, though, this is going to be a little bit of fun, I think. I want to talk about monkey business and evil money. Bad, bad money. The love of money, which is obviously the root of all evil. But first, I want to talk about monkey business and evil apples. Bad, bad apples. And let me just warn you right now, if you haven't been able to tell from my tone of voice, shit is about to get crazy silly around here. So put on your smiley face and empty your mind of all serious important business, because it is time to get weird. We're about to get really weird. I hope that you can go on this journey with me. And I ask you now to imagine a tree. This tree is an apple tree. It is extremely lush and abundant with fruit, apples specifically. In fact, it is a very special apple tree because it bears a wide variety of apples. It's like the super selection tree of deliciousness. Its apples are deep burgundy red, almost purple. They are a happy orangey red. They are an ombre pink that fades into a light pastel yellow. They are straight up yellow, golden yellow, lime green, 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 green that fades into red. Like I said, it is a very special apple tree, and it is home to some very special monkeys. These are apple-eating monkeys, and they are spoiled rotten with the abundance and variety provided by this magical tree. And they are so spoiled with apples that they have no sense of life being anything but abundant and filled with tasty variety. So they're actually pretty wasteful with their apples. You know, they'll taste and discard like three perfectly good apples. They'll just like take a bite of it and throw it out, like just going through like three or four different apples before landing on that one perfect apple that suits their current need and also just their ever-changing desires. So they go through a lot of apples. They waste a lot of apples. And when they're young, they get into like raucous, playful apple fights, throwing the apples at each other and cackling uproariously when, you know, they miss each other and see the apples go flying and splat on the ground into like millions of juicy pieces. They think that is hilarious. They carve the apples into useless but pretty to look at statues. They feed them to the birds. They wear them like shoes. And they sometimes even go so far as to wipe their big, fat monkey butts with those apples. They're fat, you know, because they eat a lot of apples. Much to the chagrin of the monkeys who live in the tree across the way. These monkeys are also apple-eating monkeys, but the difference is that their apple tree that they live on is practically barren of fruit, and they are deeply disgusted by this outlandish, wasteful behavior, and they have deemed the monkeys who are rich in apples evil. They're evil, evil, bad, bad monkeys. And it's interesting to see how these far more humble, decent, God-fearing, apple-respecting monkeys respond to the evil monkeys in the magic apple tree. Some of them have broken into rebel outfits and have tried to go to war with the evil monkeys, attacking the magic tree and using aggressive guerrilla tactics to try to take the tree away from the evil monkeys and use its abundant apples in service to their own much holier, far more gracious intentions. But the evil monkeys have grown strong after so many generations of living on the abundance of apples, and so they easily, even playfully, fight off their attackers, which of course enrages them even more. And then there are the other humble, more decent, and spiritual monkeys who take a less aggressive approach. They try to elevate their own sense of superiority by praying that the evil monkeys will change their misguided ways and or by telling themselves that they are the superior monkeys because they would never wipe their monkey butts with an apple. And for God's sake, they definitely would share them with the monkeys in the barren tree across the way. You know what I'm saying? And still, there are others who make the most of what they've got. They celebrate the emergence of every rare apple that appears on their branch of the almost barren tree. They divide it equally among themselves into teeny tiny parts. Every monkey gets a little piece of that one special apple, and they enjoy every morsel of it with genuine gratitude, and they pray to the apple gods that they will be blessed with another apple come spring. And as you can probably imagine, this is only one of a few ways that the less fortunate monkeys respond to the evil monkeys of the magic apple tree. Monkeys, you know, they're a lot like people. They have a variety of ways of handling these things, and they all take a different approach. So still, some of these monkeys that come from the almost barren tree, some have grown quite industrious. And so what they'll do is they will sometimes wait beneath the magic apple tree with buckets to catch the discarded apples of the wasteful monkeys from up above, which is pretty smart, right? And some of these return to the almost barren tree to share freely with their less fortunate monkey brothers and sisters, while others have figured out that they can trade these apples for gold or power positions, or when no one is looking, sexual favors, because they are monkeys after all. And still yet, there are monkeys who are even wiser than they, and they have taken those discarded but perfectly good apples from the magic app, you know, the from hanging out underneath the magic tree and gathering the discarded apples. They've taken those and saved and painstakingly cared for the seeds that come from those apples. And they started growing magic apple trees of their own. And of course, this takes many, 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 many years of toil and effort. Many years of their monkey lives are spent tending to the seeds and growing a tree. It takes many, many years to grow a tree, especially a tree that bears fruit. It takes tremendous faith and tremendous perseverance. But some of them, despite the naysaying monkeys and the almost barren tree, they get it done. And many of them, when they get it done, when they finally grow their own magic tree, they're so excited. They invite their entire monkey families and even some of their monkey friends to move in. At least they thought they were their friends. It's interesting how so many of them won't go. They don't feel worthy of the effort of the monkey who actually spent the time growing the tree. Or they feel spiteful. Like, they think that monkey is, you know, better. That monkey thinks he's better than me. And I would rather starve than eat his smug monkey apples. And then, of course, many more join in the abundance and are just happy to go to, you know, the new magic apple tree. But some of those monkeys end up forgetting where they came from. And they start acting wasteful and eventually even wiping their newly fattened monkey butts with apples. So yeah, I could go on and on and on with this because I really love monkeys and I really love being silly, but I won't. Because really, how many of you are still even listening to me go on about apple eating monkeys randomly on a Tuesday? So let me just wrap this thought up by asking you, what kind of monkey are you? And better yet, what kind of monkey do you want to be? That's probably the more empowering question. This is a funny thing that popped into my head around the way people act about money. I did not give this much thought. The idea popped into my head literally this morning, and I was like, that's really funny. That cracks me up. I'm going to talk about this magical apple tree and monkeys because to me, in my, you know, kooky mind, it made perfect sense. It was just an interesting way to look at the way humans behave around money. You know, the apples were the primary source of energy and survival, really, for these monkeys. And money is really that for us because, you know, we aren't bartering food anymore, and most of us aren't even growing our own food. Money is our primary energy exchange. It's how we keep a roof over our head. It's how we do everything. Let's face it. It's how you're listening to me right now. Money made this possible. You know, it bought the device you're listening to me on. It pays for your internet connection or your phone line. But the whole, you know, I always go on Facebook and I post a picture. Sometimes I post a little quote or just a funny thought, you know, to tell people, hey, this is what I'm talking about on today's show. And when I put the word monkey and money into a search, I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking, I don't know, there'd be like a funny picture with a monkey with money. What came up was that super famous totem of the three wise monkeys, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, that I'm sure we're all familiar with. I actually have a wooden version of that, like three of those monkeys hanging on a rope in my kitchen. It's just a really famous piece of iconography. I don't even know where it originated, but I'm assuming you know what I'm talking about. And there are a lot of different versions of that. There's a street artist in the UK who does like spray-painted murals of these monkeys in various configurations. And I think his point is money is evil. And I think that's the point that a lot of people are making when they create those kind of images. But monkeys, I think, too, are so interesting because, well, first of all, the monkey mind. When you try to meditate, you'll often hear people talk about the monkey mind. That's the part of your mind that you really start to realize is like a chattering monkey when you sit down and try to get very still and quiet your mind. There is a part of you that cannot shut up. And it's not usually positive. It's just a bunch of negative, like, nying, 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 nying. Do you remember this? Why did they say that? You should have done this. Why didn't you do that? Are you going to forget to do this? Did you do this? Are you sure? Are you sure? What do they think about you? What do you think about them? Maybe if you went, oh, don't forget that thing on your to-do list. And I mean, that is the monkey mind. It's like an animal part of us that we tame by going and practicing going into a meditative state. And I just think monkeys in general, they speak to our animal instincts and probably our buffoonery, our natural human buffoonery, because we can be quite clown-like at times, as can monkeys. And seeing as we're so closely related genetically, I think that it's just the perfect anthropomorphic animal to project ourselves onto. It's an easy way to tap into our more primal nature. So, monkeys. And money will do that too. Money will help you tap into your more primal nature. People have very, very knee-jerk reactions to money, to the subject of money. They act very inappropriately. They really react from their shadow. They react from like old, you know, ancestral shadows or cultural programming or cultural spells. It's like so tied up in our sense of survival that it truly, even though money, the actual money that you hold in your hands, which we don't even use that anymore, it's also digital now, but it's really tied up in the lizard brain and in our more primal reactions to things, because it holds the energy of survival. Sex, money, love, these are the energies of survival. And it's interesting that we often say that money is the root of all evil. You'll hear that a lot, especially if you grew up in a very religious home. I definitely heard that many, many times. The one, speaking of animals, the one that I was often told, which is so bizarre now that I think about it, was it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. And as a kid, that made perfect sense to me. But now I'm like, wow, that's really far out. Someone was doing some acid when they came up with that one. Or imbibing of the sacred mushroom. I don't know. But just going back to this idea of money being the root of all evil, it's interesting that we say root, because the root chakra is so much to do with survival. It's all about survival. So when we say money is the root of all evil, for me, that's really what it brings up, is like we need money to survive. That is like our primary source of energy exchange. And then it's fun to look at, you know, to flip that around like Mark Twain did. There's a famous quote where he said, "The lack of money is the root of all evil." And I actually think that that's almost more true in some ways. I say almost because I'm one of those Libras who can see like the truth in both things, and I can just get evenly split. Like if you ask me to make a list of pros and cons, almost always my list will be like exactly even. I can always see the other side of the situation. But I tend to favor the lack of money is the root of all evil, because when you think about it, you know, people's morals, they can be very, like, vigilant in defending their morals and trying to impose their morals on other people, which is always weird and funky to see, but it goes on a lot. But they're not fixed, actually, when you think about it, which is proven when money, or more specifically, the lack of money, enters into the picture. When people are really lacking in money, the boundaries of their morals, they start to waver a little bit. Many people start to loosen their morals as they run out of money, and, like, food starts to become an issue. I mean, how many prostitutes and strippers are young, destitute mothers with little babies at home to feed? I think the statistics might shock you. A lot of those women are moms. Some of them are moms from being in that situation. It's kind of the chicken or the egg theory. And some of them get into those situations out of, you know, desperation. I'm sure they're not super excited to do that job, but some people feel like they have to do what they have to do to survive. And that's a root chakra issue for sure. And if you think prostitution is evil, and obviously we could argue about that all day long, we could argue about the word evil, couldn't we? I mean, we could just do 10 shows just on the word evil. But I'm pretty sure the person that said money is the root of all evil might have had prostitution in mind somewhere in their mind when they were laying that one down. Another interesting quote that I included in today's Facebook post is a wise man should have money in his head, but not in his heart. And again, that's another one where it's like, yes, I totally see what you mean. A wise man should have money in his head, but not in his heart. Okay, I can totally feel that, but I also can see that it's not true in some ways as well. As a person who makes my living, and I do make my living now doing this, running a heart-centered business, my heart and my money, they're all wrapped up together. Like, I do this out of love. I love the people I work with. I love the people I am here to serve. It took me a long time to figure out how to make money doing that so that I could continue doing that. And now I see, like, oh, that's so important to get that piece. You know, I also strongly believe that the energy in our hearts is highly magnetic. Like, the love in our hearts, that's a magnet. And so that statement really gives me pause, because I think, well, if you can't love money, if you can't really bring money into your heart, how can you create abundance, financial abundance for yourself? And I'm not even talking about the law of attraction. Yes, that's true if you believe in the law of attraction. I believe what's true for you is true for you. If you believe it, great. But even outside of that, like, how can you attract abundance in your life when you are spending so much energy begrudging people that have money, calling them evil, hating on them, hating money, thinking money's evil? Like, I'm pretty sure you just signed a contract to be poor for the rest of your life, and that's worth looking at for sure. I think, you know, we make these decisions unconsciously. You might be a person that has, like, a monk archetype in play. You might genuinely be here of service to serve people freely from the heart and then just rely on the kindness of strangers for your sustenance. But that's a hard life to live for somebody who doesn't really have that in their soul contract. And that's not a life you want to live out of default. You want to make that decision consciously. And it's funny how many people contact me, you know, throughout the year looking for free advice. Everybody wants free advice. And I give a lot of free advice on my, you know, show, in the videos. I'm giving away free content all the time, but some people want more. More free stuff, please. Then they'll get mad when I actually put a price tag on something, which is really interesting. But the thing that they want advice around is money most often. You know, they want to know, how do you make money doing what you do? And can you tell me how to start my own online business? And then when I actually give them an opportunity to learn this and teach them exactly how I did it, step by step, to, you know, take this whole money game and make it real for you in an accelerated, super empowering way, it's like crickets. I don't hear from those people at all. Either that or they want to complain about the price, which is amazing. The price is amazing. We're doing Big Heart, Big Biz, Ryan and I, for less than $250. And if you think that's a lot of money, please, I beg you now, go to Google and do a search for similar programs. It is a four-week program that will take you from A to Z in learning how to pay your bills with a heart-centered online business. And we mean business. We are going to teach you this. It is not going to be a bunch of fluffy, you know, I don't want to make fun of my own self, but psycho-spiritual BS. It's, you know, I love that piece of it too, but we're actually going to get practical. We're actually going to teach you how to get up and running and making money. Google programs like that, and you will see people are charging thousands of dollars for this kind of information. And, you know, maybe I will one day too, but this is where I'm at now. This is how far my own sense of, you know, value, the way I value my own self, will allow me to go in terms of putting a price on what I am offering. Because this is something that I really have just learned to do for myself in recent years. And even in recent months have I really finally just confidently been like, okay, I know how to do this. I'm actually doing this. Because I spent so many years in the starving artist archetype and rocking the poverty mentality that it took a long time of even after I was making money to realize, like, holy crap, I'm doing this. I know how to do this. I can teach other people how to do this. And that, it was weird. It took time for me to catch up with myself that way. I used to often say, especially in my 20s, I kind of, you know, I wised up in my 30s, but it still took me years to figure this out, but even then. But in my 20s, I would say, I don't care about money. I just don't care about it. I don't care about money. And now I look back at myself and I'm like, really, you don't? You're a mother. You don't care about eating. You don't care about keeping a roof over your head or getting to put your kid through school. You know, and it, or just for you, I'm talking to you, the listener right now. I mean, you don't care about getting to do what you love with your life. You want to go, you know, work the soul-sucking job that so many of me, you know, you tell me that you have. You complain about wanting to have time to make your art. Money can do that for you. Or people say they want to help the world. They want to donate to their favorite charity. You need money to do that, right? So making friends with the money piece is important. And please don't repeat that mantra that I was just happy to tell anybody who would listen about how I don't care about money. I don't care about money. I'm just an artiste. I'm an artist. I just go with the flow of my creative whims, and I'm just here to create art and magic for the world. I really believed that, and I believed it made me superior. And it's funny, we lie to ourselves so much, and we lie to each other. I see, like, groups online, you know, where they're there, like, they're mastermind groups. They're trying to help each other figure out how to make money online, but it kind of turns into a blind leading the blind situation because nobody really knows, and they're all just kind of guessing. The two issues that come up the most often when I do BizWitch coaching calls are people think they have too many ideas to actually narrow it down to one business, or they think they're not ready yet. They don't have enough certifications or qualifications. And I think that these are very complicated, convincing ways that we lie to ourselves to keep ourselves from doing what is in our heart to do. We tell ourselves stories, and they're just, it's just our fear, but our fear is so clever. It's a clever storyteller. It tells stories of monkeys and magical apple trees. So just, I'm out of time. Again, what I'm saying is don't be a monkey. Don't let your monkey mind run the show. If money is an issue for you, get really, really present to it. Sit with that. Journal it. Journal it. Think about it. Really spend time with it. Be a fully present, spiritually engaged, big-hearted creator of abundance. Learn how to experience money and experience real wealth before you go deciding what is and isn't evil about it. It's just energy. And if you want to be an energy worker, try working with the energy of money to really accelerate your education and take your level of understanding, spiritual understanding, to a place where you can really be of service to, you know, your fellow spiritual seekers and your witchy community. I'll be back here next week talking about space clearing. The money piece now officially comes to a close here on Hibby Witch. Until we meet again, much love. I hope this has been of value to you. Peace.